It is 8 a.m. on Friday, the 29th of January, 2021. I will call the meeting to order of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Welcome, everyone, and we have quite a load of work today and a couple of enjoyable opportunities here. So the first item on our agenda is Commissioner's Discussion. Commissioners, do you have any items of discussion for discussion this morning? Commissioner Thorburn, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to report that I attended the WAFWA winter meeting in the first week of January. I was able to attend a number of sessions. They're online these days. Part of greatest interest always is meeting with fellow commissioners at the Commissioners Committee. We share our department reports. They're always really interesting to learn what's going on in other Western fish and wildlife agencies. We also discuss three chosen topics We spent time going over those. One, we're going to continue the discussion at the next meeting, which will be the midsummer meeting of WAFWA. And that's some issues that are going on with shed hunting, which is huge in the Central Basin, not our Central Basin, but Colorado and Wyoming. They're discussing maybe uniform regulation across the states. We have issues with it here, but much less than what's going on there. The three topics that we'll be discussing at the next meeting are the wildlife crossing, the decrease in big game species that a number of the states are seeing, and its relation probably to habitat effects of climate change. It was really amazing to hear that most of the Southwestern agencies are actually water hauling to ensure that there's ample water to support game. Because of lots of the usual water holes drying up in the prolonged drought that these areas have been suffering. And there are other impacts on the habitat. Some states are beginning to see real competition between elk and deer species for whatever forage is available. So that was a very interesting discussion that we're going to continue in the summer meeting. And then the third topic that we'll be looking at is the movement about trapping and the fact that this is receiving more resistance. The AFWA, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, has actually developed standards for trapping, and some of the states have been adopting those, and we're going to have further discussion about that in the presentation. There was an outstanding workshop that kicked off WAFWA on wildfire and management. A number of our staff were in attendance. It was a lot of the science of wildfires as well as public communication. Most of the presentations related to forest fire prevention and management. There was a little bit about rangeland fire, which is, of course, the wildfire situation that we've been facing to a great degree in Washington State. But absolutely very interesting work from fire scientists across academia and the agencies. And I was glad to see a lot of our staff in attendance. And then I really enjoy the business meetings where we get reports from various cross-agency initiatives that WAFWA manages. These are such things as a critical habitat assessment tool, The Sagebrush Initiative, I think Eric Gardner sits on that group. Unfortunately, they always hold their meeting at the same time as the commissioner's meeting, so I'm unable to attend that. But these initiatives coordinate work across the region among the agencies and are really incredible activities. Another one is the Native Trout Initiative, which is always very interesting. This involves more species, particularly the small populations of cutthroat trout that are throughout the Great Basin area and the Southwest. A lot of those populations are facing real threats with climate change. And just always interesting to hear what's going on with conservation in those areas that's coordinated by WAFWA. So there's a lot of information that I gain from these meetings. I try to share a little bit with you, but I find them really beneficial and lots to learn. Thank you. Oh, and I just, there's one other good note that I'd like to share. I was approached by the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. They're interested in pursuing more educational outreach on non-toxic ammunition. So we've been in touch with Chris Parrish and Leland, I can't think of Leland's last name, Brown, from the non-lead partnership, and we've got our heads together to try and figure out how they're going to start working with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. As you know, we're in the works after their presentation in December 2019 with working out the state's relationship with the partnership, and I think this may be a way to kind of kick it off. And that's my report.
Thank you for that update, Commissioner Thorburn. Any other commissioners have any comments? Okay, seeing none, we will move down to an opportunity to introduce to those of you that don't know or haven't met, haven't seen, and including the public, our two new commissioners. So it's my pleasure to introduce Lorna Smith and Fred Kuntz, and I'd like to hope that you would say a few words to us and to the public. Lorna?
Well, I'm really thrilled to be here for my first meeting. Nice to meet everybody, albeit virtually, and hopefully this won't be going on for much longer. I'm an ecologist who has worked in the natural resource management arena for most of my career. Most recently, I was involved in a project, Western Wildlife Outreach, doing education around how large carnivores and human populations and their domestic animals can coexist. That was exciting work. I'm a fifth generation Washington native. Grew up on the shores of the Salish Sea, boating, fishing, hunting, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you, and we're glad to have you here and look forward to working with you. Thank you, Lorna. Fred Kuntz, please.
Good morning, everyone. I feel it's a privilege to be appointed to the commission. I'm a retired wildlife conservation biologist. I worked in a variety of different capacities, including being the curator of mammals at the Bronx Zoo, for example. My most recent job was vice president of field conservation at the Woodland Park Zoo. I think that there's so many difficult issues facing Washingtonians in the foreseeable future over fish and wildlife. The challenge will be to see if we can find a way to work together so that all Washingtonians' viewpoints are integrated into the decisions. You know, there's 9 commissioners on the commission, but I want everybody to know that when I'm sitting here listening and asking questions and making decisions, I imagine that there's two other commissioners sitting up there, and those are some young people that are born today. I think it's very difficult to really put the context of our issues into the future. I feel it's the responsibility of elected officials and appointed officials that we're really the trustees of Wildlife Trust in Washington. And it's our job to not only be concerned about all the Washingtonians today, but think about those kids in the future. Are they going to be able to go elk hunting? Are they going to be able to catch a salmon at the mouth of the Columbia River? And more important, or equally important, are there going to be pollinators to pollinate the crops for their food? This is a very difficult time in our country. It's one where we have to find ways not to be decisive, not to inflame passions, but to come together as a community to solve problems. It's not easy, but that's what I feel the responsibility of the commission is. I look forward to working with the commission, and I look forward to working with the staff, who I think, by the way, I've volunteered with for the last 10 years, that we have an amazing, just simply amazing department. And I look forward to working with the public, because after all, they're the ones that are the beneficiaries of the Wildlife Trust. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Fred. Anyone else have anything to say this morning? Well, I'm pleased to have two new commissioners on board. I think we all look forward to working with them, getting to know them, maybe someday sitting across the table from them. That would be a refreshing experience. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Well, now we're going to have a little bit of a good time. We're going to give a little love to two commissioners that left the end of December. I'm just going to say a couple of things. I've known Bob Kehoe for, I don't know, Bob, 25 years, I think. We've worked together as stakeholders on North of Falcon, PFMC. We served together at U.S. Canada, he on the Fraser panel, me on the Southern panel for 15 years, and a real gentleman and a professional, and was an excellent commissioner. And I'm going to miss you, Bob. We'll see you at some of these events, I suspect. But and then there's my friend Brad, just up the highway from me in Whatcom County. I've really worked with him. His leadership on the commission for a long time was just second to none. Kept people happy, put fires out. People would get angry with each other. Brad had the right demeanor and terminology to make them feel loved. And I've had a few road trips to commission meetings with Brad, and there I learned more in a 3-4 hour trip to Kennewick than I thought I could possibly learn from a very, very knowledgeable gentleman. So you guys did a great job. I hope you know that and feel that in your heart, because you did. That's all I can say. I look forward to seeing you and breaking bread with you folks sooner than later. Commissioner McIsaac has his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me add to your remarks. We're really going to miss these gentlemen. Spend a lot of time with them and really do appreciate all their contributions. Brad, the service time here says 12 years for you. And so you served a 6-year term, and then you served another 6-year term. And that second 6-year term, when you had to start dealing with that hyperactive new commissioner from Southwest Washington, I imagine you thought your term had been changed from 6 years to 20 to life. But anyway, no, I just want to say that I really appreciated working with you. When you were chair, you were always had a very gentlemanly demeanor and friendliness to the public. When they came forward for public testimony, whether it be an elected official or a gold miner or some sort of famous scientist or lawyer or just a grubby old fisherman, you always had a very nice demeanor with all of those and were particularly gracious with regard to youngsters and encouraging people about further education. So another thing I can remember, Brad, that was impressive to me is the way you articulated the typical hunter stages that they might go through in reaching the pinnacle of a real ethical hunter. And that was, you mentioned that a couple different times, And it's a very powerful thing that you said. I just wanted to mention that as a good memory. So we're going to miss gentleman Michiganders' perspective on things and all your contributions. So thank you, Brad, very much for having the ability to work with you.
Bob Kehoe, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Something about Bob Kehoe. That's that other gentleman up there. This sheet says 9 years. I went back and tried to look at how many years. 9 years, Bob. So Bob brought this commercial fishery expertise that we're really going to greatly miss. When the commercial crab folks came forward, he was able to translate what they were talking about for us. At Sea Whiting Fleet, North Pacific Fishery Management Council, distant fleet stuff, all of that commercial expertise. We don't have that on the commission right now, Bob, and we really do need that. That was one of the very strong contributions that you brought. I also know you very much appreciate how you were open to new ideas. You had a lawyerly attention to detail and kind of were just the consummate professional at the front table. But despite all that normal qualifications that came in, you had the savvy too, and you could get right to the core of some of these policy questions, even on the wildlife side. You're a Puget Sound guy, but you could get right to the center of these core issues on the Columbia River. And you were always willing to laugh and always willing to have a good joke. And I'll sure miss being around you. So I do want to say that the citizens of the state are much better off now as a result of 9 years worth of Bob Kehoe. And I hope you're not going to be a stranger to us all and you can help us as we move through time. The chairman didn't mention one thing about gifts. We want to give some gifts to these commissioners that we're not going to have at the front table anymore. We'd like to give them to you in person, but we can't because of the pandemic. And speaking to the chairman just recently, he noted that we can't even show them to you now on the Zoom because they're so big and they're so shocking. So you're gonna have to wait for a surprise to come to your doorstep. But anyway, we would like to give you guys a token of our appreciation. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Commissioner Thorburn and then Commissioner Anderson, please.
Well, a lot's been said. I'll just mention a couple of things. I think of Brad, who really brought me on to the commission and got me oriented. The graciousness with which he served has been noted. So I'm just going to note that when I came on, there were four of us from the class of 68. So we were the little unit, the hippies of the group. That sort of explains Brad's hairstyle. Now I think this is what's happening to the class of 68, attrition. I'm kind of the only one left. So in that sense, I'm going to miss you, Brad. I again just want to acknowledge the graciousness that's been mentioned in your leadership and appreciate that you were the chair when I came on and helped me come on board. And I really enjoyed your leadership. For Bob, Bob was often, when we could meet in person, he was often my seatmate. And I remember turning to him. One of the things that really impressed me was the questions he could ask. And I remember turning to him and commenting on that. And he said, "Well, I'm a lawyer." So I got it. Bob, I certainly been missing you as a seatmate for a while, miss you on the commission and that great skill of yours. And then particularly, I guess I'll admit that Bob's my beer buddy, so we'll certainly be missing that part as well. bye to both of you. Well, I really enjoyed the years of serving with you.
Well, I hope you haven't given up drinking beer, Kim, with my departure. Because I haven't. So. Say thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Before I go to Commissioner Anderson, I just want to, Brad, you're kind of sitting back smiling, which is a normal thing for you. I just want you to know, I know Bob Kehoe was set up, but when the gifts arrive that Commissioner McIsaac talked about, you'll probably have to go down to the equipment rental place and get a forklift for the day. So you might just sort of plan in advance that.
Is it a bust of you?
Oh, no, you don't want that, trust me. Commissioner Anderson, please.
I suspect it's an old motor that Larry has floating around somewhere. I want to say thank you for your service, both of you. I'm relatively new on the commission. Each of you were there when I had questions, and I've learned a lot from you. I think you're both wise guys in the best of the term, and that it's been helpful to me. I think one of the challenges we as a commission have faced and probably always will face is dealing with these very complex natural resource issues, all coming at it from different perspectives, and having a real need to listen and to understand, to explain, and to work together, and to, at the end of the process, at the end of the discussion, come together and find the common ground and make a decision that we can, that we feel is right, and for the resource, and also for the people of the state, and one that leaves us as a organization or as a body together, ready for the next challenge. So I think both of you exemplified that kind of spirit and that kind of leadership. And I, for one, really appreciate that and want to carry that kind of tradition on.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Well said. Commissioner Linva, please.
I thankfully, thanks to friend Lorna, no longer the newbie, so I appreciate that. but when I did onboard with the commission, both Brad and Bob were just excellent resources and so warm and inviting and helpful. And I really do wish that friend Lorna had the opportunity for that in-person welcome, because it really makes a difference and it really starts out your tenure on the commission in on the right foot. So I'm sad that they, that we're living in the times we are. This is the most, after having a little more than a year under my belt on the commission, commissioners who are willing to do more than 1 6-year term haven't decided if they're just really generous or crazy. But I'm really glad that
the latter.
It is not an easy place to hold. And so I appreciate both of your service very, very much. Brad, I was wondering if we could make a special request, since this is your last commission meeting. Could you put the kilt on for us?
I'll save it when I come out and look for arrowheads.
Okay. All right. And Bob, I will never stop drinking beer, so I hope that we'll be able to continue that tradition in the future. So thank you both.
Yeah.
Well done, thank Commissioner you. Linville. Thank you. Commissioner Baker, please.
Well, I'm going to make some very short comments, much shorter than this occasion deserves. But I want to ratify what everyone else says. We are really going to miss the two of you. The thing that I wanted to say is what's important to me as we go through some of these, just as everybody said, really, really hard questions and difference of opinions on every level, the two things that are important, well, civility is very important to me, that we respect each other, but even more, almost, maybe almost more, is being able to be, say something humorous, make a joke, cut the tension. And the thing about both Bob and Brad, while I didn't always agree with everything that we were saying, there was always camaraderie and there was always the ability to interject a little bit of humor, which would lighten all of our loads and make us realize that we're just people like everybody else trying to do the best we can. And you guys are great at that. And that's the part I'm going to miss. I hope we don't lose as a commission our sense of humor because we've lost the two of you. So thank you very much for all of that.
Well stated, Vice Chair Baker. Director, has your hand up?
Yeah, I think all the commissioners have gone. I wanted to make sure and wait my turn. I did not want to miss the opportunity to say thank you to both of you. I've known you both for, oh gosh, exactly 2.5 years. I didn't know you'd be when I came on board. And it's been a pleasure for both. Commissioner Kehoe, always insightful, always helpful. The thing that I'll remember is the best ability of anybody I've ever met to wear two hats and make a distinction between the two hats, a professional ethical distinction, especially in private meetings. Commissioner Kehoe would say, okay, I'm taking off my commissioner hat and I'm putting on my Persane hat, which meant I had a chewing about to happen, probably. And then at the end of that discussion, I'll call it, he'd take off his Persane hat and put back his commissioner's hat, and we'd have a conversation on how to proceed productively, supportively, not just for Persaners, but whoever we might be talking about. And it was striking how well you did that and how ethical and professional it was at the time. I actually thought, boy, this is going to be awkward. He's going to talk to me as a Persaner. And it was never awkward at all because there was always a clear distinction. So I appreciate that. It's a level of professionalism that's hard to replicate. Commissioner Chairman Smith, scholar and a gentleman, always. That's what I will always think about with you, and always helpful as well. From the very first call, when he stepped out of the commission meeting to offer me the job, ask how I was doing already. I mean, it was the first call, and I was like, hell, I don't know yet. But he cared about you as a person. Person first and an employee second. So that will always strike me as that, again, that's the level of professionalism that I've come to expect from the commission, and you two were the ones that engendered that. So thank you. I'm going to miss you both a lot.
Thank you, Director. Well, Brad and Bob, got to see you again sometime. We just can't quit chatting and exchanging stories and wisdom. It's tough. So thank you for all you've done. Have a great weekend, Brad. Great. There's a new box from Merlot in the back of your truck. I know you like it in a box. That's why it's there.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to say something if that's...
absolutely, Bob. You're a man of few words, so I'm looking forward to this.
A rebuttal from the lawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little the minority position. But, well, thank you, everybody, and thank you for the very kind words. Let me first say that, you know, I was talking to Commissioner Thorburn, and she told me that the meeting started at 8:30 this morning. But I do remember an occasion where that wasn't the case, so I made sure to check the agenda. And, I was here for 8:00. So, first of all, welcome to the new commissioners. This is a great opportunity. A challenging one, and I'm sure both of you are up for the task. I just want to say, too, that this has been a great opportunity to serve with all of you. I thank the governor for giving me the opportunity. I thank the Senate for confirming me. And, I learned a lot. And, you know, in the number of years that have gone by, my kids, you just kind of think of it in that context. Both of my girls were in high school at the time, and now both have graduated from high school, graduated from college, and are living outside the house. So, you measure that in that time span, it's amazing. And just let me, on one last closing note, I am not on the commission, but I still have a job related to the fishing industry and director. I will no longer be wearing my commission hat. I will be wearing my my advocacy hat, and I will. We have issues and are regulated by this agency, and you will see me, good, bad, or indifferent. So I look forward to seeing everybody in person, and thank you to Brad Smith. Couldn't agree more, a gentleman and a scholar. And it was great to have the occasion to get to know you and work with you. So, okay, that's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Keogh. Brad, would you like to say a few words?
Sure, a few. Thank you all, my friends, for your kind words. And I'm really happy to see Lorna and Fred come on. I've known both of you guys for a few years now, so I know that the commission's in good hands with your leadership. And if you ever want to talk about anything, Lorna or Fred, you know, give me a ring. But to all of you, my friends, it's been an honor to serve with you. Again, as Bob said, thank you to the Senate, to the governor for the opportunity. 12 years, as Molly said, is a long time. There have been some difficult times. Remember, Larry and I, when we left one meeting, I had to make a phone call to somebody, and that phone call was, you know, a very difficult call to make at the time. But that was part of the job as being chair. And Larry, you've done a great job in the last couple of years as chair. So I will miss you all, but our paths will cross again. We're still all in this kind of fight together to make sure, as Fred said, the next generation is able to enjoy what we have. The older I get, the more I reflect back to my years of, you know, being a 6-year-old or a 12-year-old and being in the woods and all of that. And I want to make sure that the next generation, or generations to come, my grandsons have that opportunity. So wishing you all well, thank you. And Molly, I will be giving you a call one of these days. I still want to come out and see your area. And Larry, I haven't stopped thinking about you for the last 2 weeks. I haven't wanted to call, but I will now that I've seen you. I'll give you a call next week, my friend, so we can break some bread together. So love to all of you, and till we meet around the bend.
Thank you, Brad. Well, this was fun, and appreciation to you gentlemen, and keep an eye on us. We're going to try and keep the boat afloat and move things forward. So thank you, and have a great weekend, Bob and Brad.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. And we're going to move to one of Commissioner Thorburn's favorite and very efficient subjects. Meeting minute approval for December 4, 5, December 15, and December 18. Commissioner Thorburn.
Actually, I did not attend one of the meetings, so I'm quite willing to move for two of the minutes, but somebody else is going to have to move for the one I didn't attend, since it's our practice to abstain on meetings we didn't attend. So I will move to approve the December 4th and 5th, 2020 minutes of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting as submitted.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Linville. All right, we have a motion and a second for December 4 and 5. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you for that. Next.
I will move to approve the December 18th, 2020 minutes of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting as submitted.
Do we have a second?
Aye.
Jim Anderson has a second. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, would someone be kind enough to make a motion on December 15th, 2020?
Mr. Chairman,
that we
go ahead.
Commissioner Anderson.
I move that we approve the December 15 meeting minutes.
For 2020. Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have a second from Commissioner McIsaac? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you for that.
If I could say I'm abstaining, I was not in attendance, and that's our practice.
Yeah, so noted, Commissioner Thorburn. Thank you. Okay, we are now at committee reports. Kim, would you like to go first, or do you want to tell me what you want, and then we'll go on to the other committees?
Yes, certainly I can go first. So we had a wildlife committee meeting yesterday. It was jam-packed agenda with lots of meaty topics, I guess I'll say. We dove right into the agenda since there was a lot to discuss. The first item, ADA committee has brought before the commission and asked us to take a look at an issue that at first seems somewhat obscure. It has to do with hunting points for elk and deer. And there was a change in our system in 2010, and points were carried forward from the old system into the new system. And that means that there are about 400 people who come new into the disability category each year on average. And some of those are carrying the 2010 points. If after 2010 you become disabled, your points start anew. So there's a fairness question that has been raised by the disability committee. It seems sort of straightforward on the face of it, but it's actually quite complicated. And there are actually perhaps some legal questions. We will have a discussion in executive session about the legal questions. And we've asked staff to gather some more statistical data on the number of people impacted, if it's possible to get that information before we bring the full question before the commission or decide whether it should come before the entire commission. So there's more work on that one. The second was a presentation about a potential land acquisition. The commissioners have been on for a while will remember that in February is when we look at the Lands 2020 presentation, which is how we start the process for potential land acquisitions. And there's a really neat opportunity that's presented itself on the west side in both Thurston and is it Pacific County? It crosses.
Lewis County.
Lewis County, thank you. So it's an old mine property that's being reclaimed. A lot of it is proposed to be donated. We had some discussion about the questions that should probably be explored. Staff has already done a whole lot of the legwork, and I think we'll be able to talk about some of the concerns when Lands 2020 is presented. It's called the TransAlta mine land acquisition, real potential for wildlife conservation. So exciting to look forward to, and we thank the staff for giving us a heads up. An emerging issue is electric bikes, or what are known as e-bikes, an emerging issue on public lands. And as you know, we are undertaking comprehensive recreation planning for our lands. Just will remind you, it took up the issue of recreational shooting and shooting ranges, kind of one of the first really controversial first steps of the recreation planning. This is the next big area that is being explored. These are bikes that are similar to mountain bikes generally, at least the ones that are used on our lands, except that they have electric motor assist, some with pedal assist, some with throttle. What's going on is an interest in their use on public lands, and both federal public lands agencies as well as our state's public land agencies are looking at how to manage these. Currently, they're only permitted on department lands on roads that permit motorized vehicles. We consider them motorized. There is interest in expanding their use on different kinds of surfaces. State Parks has already made some changes. There are lots and lots of questions about them, public safety, enforcement, the impact on wildlife, really not a lot of research has been done. We're just beginning a process of learning more about them, and we'll be exploring with our stakeholders and public as well as we move forward for how e-bikes are going to be regulated on our lands. We will have before us the grazing rulemaking, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on that. It is an area that has been reworked for the staff's been working on updating both the rule and the commission policy for a number of months. This is the first time that both the rule that the rule's been looked at since 2002. The policy's a little bit newer than that, but it also has not been updated since it was first adopted. So great work by staff, and we'll be seeing that. We had a couple of not really emerging issues that we quickly covered. You'll recall that the commission has asked staff to move forward with permitting the holding of wildlife for dog aversion training, in particular porcupines. This is, we just got a short update. It's another one of those issues that looks fairly straightforward on the face of it, but there are complications, and we got an update as to where that is. It's not ready yet to come back to the commission. If it does need to come back to the commission, that's one of the questions as to whether or not we need a rule. Staff has been working hard internally on cougar public safety issues, as we know, and we're going to have a meeting in the near future to get an update on the staff work that's been going on there. And that is all I have to report. If any of the members want to chime in, I welcome that.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. I've asked Commissioner McIsaac to give the Fish Committee report, please, Don.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll give a brief Fish Committee report, and I'll also give a brief report on the meeting with Oregon earlier this week, which is not strictly a committee, but it's a subgroup committee-like body. So first on the Fish Committee report, my notes show that there were 57 participants, including a full quorum of the two members that would be that are left after Commissioners Graybill and Kehoe have left. And it also included Jim Anderson, who's been on the Hatchery Policy Writing Work Group, Kelly Susawind, our director, Joe Panesco. Other commissioners in attendance, according to my notes, included Commissioners Baker, Thorburn, Kuntz, and Smith. There were three agenda items. One had to do with the Hatchery policy review process, and the committee did reach a recommendation to the full commission to approve a new draft and a schedule that will come up under our agenda item Saturday morning, and we can speak to more detail at that time. And those recommendations hopefully will be posted for the public to see under that agenda item. They already are posted under the Fish Committee meeting. The second, and fisheries policy development, had a very excellent briefing from the staff on that. As a result, there was some questions about further check-ins with the commission on policy decisions as it moves forward. There was also the introduction of some new elements that currently weren't on their screen. And so when we get around at the end of our meeting to look at our year at a glance schedule, maybe by then there'll be some further discussion on where a check-in with the full commission might be in the first half of 2021.
Hey, Don, this is Nikki. Your audio and video are really choppy. You might want to just shut off your camera and finish your report.
Okay, there we go. Testing 1, 2, 3. Is that better?
Way better.
Okay, sorry about that, folks. The third agenda item was the Willapa Bay policy review. And we were told by staff to expect on Saturday, when this comes up, a more detailed schedule and process that will show moving toward finality on this starting in June and moving through the end of the year, so as to avoid any confusion with the 2021 planning necessities associated with North of Falcon and such. They will also talk to us about the agenda item in February, where some of those necessities for 2021 will come before the commission. So if there aren't any questions about the Fish Committee report, I'll give a brief, or I can give this brief one and take any questions on both of them. So we met with representatives from the Oregon Commission Wednesday afternoon. The agenda, it was a similar group of commissioners and staff as the November meeting, with the exception of Commissioner Anderson replacing Commissioner Kehoe. On the agenda, the Oregon folks brought forward some conservation opportunities that included a staff presentation on the Columbia Basin Partnership Task Force, which calls for several things to try to make things better in the long term, including establishing abundance goals for hatchery and wild fish. We also had a staff presentation on the smolt to adult survival rate, SAR. This SAR metric is something that's needed to consider increases in run size, and this smolt to adult survival rate research shows that essentially the more dams the fish have to deal with, the lower the survival, again, all pointing to the need to continue to try to do more with regard to juvenile passage downstream and adult passage upstream past dams, particularly those that have 8 dams to negotiate. We heard a little bit about a 4 governors process in support of these and a few other things. There was an agenda item on climate change that was postponed to our next meeting. On the Washington perspective, there was an agenda item about the pathway to orderly fisheries via concurrent policies and regulations. We noted that our new policy does have a good overlap into the call for improving conservation measures. For example, our new policy does have reference to the Columbia River Partnership Task Force, where we're calling for establishing goals for abundance and escapement. Our policy also has a component calling for advocating for improved survival down through the dams and back up through the dams. So there's some pretty good overlap there. And additionally, we had some conservation measures in our new policy that didn't get discussion yesterday, such as talking with Oregon about thermal sanctuaries and improvement in catch and release rates and fishery monitoring. We also noted there's several other things in our new policy that we would hope to discuss in the future. towards a common policy approach in 2022 and beyond. We also spoke to what to do about orderly fisheries in 2021. It was good to hear both states say that it would be not appropriate for either state to just go their own way when we have differences for 2021. There was good discussion that included the word compromise several times. There was discussion about some director-to-director meetings to reach concurrency of approach for the upcoming spring Chinook season and the rest of the year prior to the North of Falcon Forum event in March and early April. So at the end, we talked about next steps. And in the short term for 2021, what my notes show is both commissions thinking about things and looking towards some director-to-director meetings occurring in the rather immediate future. And then also we talked about our next scheduled meeting on March 2nd, and that would get to medium and long-term policy issues. And one agenda item being more discussion about the new Washington policy, and that the Washington, the chair of the particular meetings would rotate to Washington chairing the next. So, Mr. Chairman, that's what my notes show for those two events. Be glad to try to answer any questions.
No, well done, Commissioner McIsaac. Any questions from other commissioners? Thank you for that. The next committee report is by Vice Chair Baker, please.
So I just wanted to let people know that we have reconvened a committee called the Executive Committee, and we've had one meeting, which was yesterday. For those of you who don't remember, the Executive Committee is a bit different. We don't discuss issues or policy. It's a committee that is just brought together to talk about things that affect both the commission and the agency that need to be discussed basically in a leadership setting. The members of the committee traditionally have been the chair and the vice chair, and then the two longest serving other members, which in our case is Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner McIsaac. So all four of us were on the Zoom call, as well as Amy and Kelly and Joe Panesco. We had a good talk. It's always fun to talk to those guys, mostly about sort of organizational issues, like what's our role and what we're going to do. We talked a little bit about communication, and it was pretty general discussion all the way around. And then we discussed the strategic plan a bit, just for the science component of the strategic plan, which we are trying to emphasize. And Amy's working on a project with that, both internally with the agency and a little bit externally with us, pretty much to let us know where our science comes from and who our scientists are. So we'll hear more about that from her later. So that's what we did.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Baker. That will wrap up the committee reports for today. We will